John chapter 8 this morning. We'll turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 1 through 11. And if you're getting familiar with your Bible, go to the New Testament, starting in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then you'll come to the book of John. John chapter 8, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. I'll read the odd verses if you'll read with me the evens this morning in John chapter 8. If you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. And we'll start in John chapter 8 and verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down, and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thou accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading this morning. Thank you for the text. Lord, I pray you bless the special and prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, I pray you bless the listening ears. Lord, keep an open heart this morning as we hear from your word. Well, thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
To follow wherever you lead. Good song and good for us this morning. There you go. Thank you so much for the good music. I want to speak today on this subject, why are weak links common? Talking about this subject during the month of April on Sunday mornings. And I want to speak today on why are weak links common. I want you to look at verse number 9, the text that Brother Bragg read with us a moment ago. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. That's an interesting verse. I want to put it into the context this morning and talk about why are weak links common to all of us. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today for the privilege to have church. You have given us a living book so we can come every week with the same book in our hand, and we can never exhaust its depth. We can never find its height. We can never get to the end of its length. Lord, it's inexhaustible. It's so deep and wonderful. We're thankful for your book. And from week to week, we can draw out of it things that you have given us that will help us live for you in this life. Be with me this morning, Holy Spirit. We heard about you in Sunday school, sang about you in the opening song, and throughout the morning have been thinking about it. So, Holy Spirit, please guide now through these moments of preaching, teaching your word, and we'll be thankful for it in Jesus' name. And amen. Probably everybody here is familiar with the statement that goes like this: a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And that is true. If you have a chain made up of 100 links and 99 of them test out at a certain level of strength, that's all moot if one tests significantly weaker. Because when stress or pressure is placed on that chain, it will only tolerate what that weakest link can handle. So it doesn't matter if you got 99, and I don't know how to measure the strength of steel. I've never done that, but just for illustration purposes, if 99 of those links test out at 100, and that's maximum strength for steel, that's a lot of strength. But if you got one chain, one link of that chain that's only testing out at 80, that chain's only as strong as that one link. Because when that pressure's put on there, that thing's going to break, it snaps, it breaks, and then it becomes a chain with a broken link, okay? So here's a man, and he gets a pink slip. He's a good fella. He gets a pink slip at work, or he gets laid off, or his job shuts down, and he's without work, and he applies for work, and he's turned down, and he's rejected. And it's interesting to read what the numbers that the government gives us concerning unemployment, and how that both sides can always, you know, skew the numbers to make it say what they want it to say. But I do think that our government is not being completely honest with us about the workforce. And so for a year, or maybe tries to find work and is turned down and rejected over and over again, and financial strain sets in, and emotional strain sets in. And then a man, and maybe you ladies wouldn't understand this, but a man starts to feel guilty. Because God made a man to work, and when he's not working, he feels guilty, and guilt turns into anger, and anger builds. And one day, as all of these things are boiling inside of the man, one of his children says something innocent, but to the man, it has a little bit of an edge to it. Maybe something like, "Daddy, how come you don't have a job like all the other daddies?" And he yells. He loses his temper, and he snaps, and he gets angry, and he throws stuff, and he points a finger and threatens the child. "Don't you ever say anything like..." Maybe he throws an object across the room, and his temper gets out of control. And we would say, well, he had a weak link. He had a weak link. Or we've all read these stories, been exposed to these stories once in a while that come across the news. It just absolutely floors me when a mother takes her children and drives them into the water and drowns them. What in the world? You say, well, she snapped. You know, like there's this weak problem, and she snapped. And so we're familiar with these things, and you call them what you want to call it, called temper or anger or frustration or revenge or jealousy or envy or something. Like we find in our text here, lust. And they all build until the chain, pardon me, the chain snaps. Now, is this something that only a few people battle? Is this something that has to do with the person's environment? Or is this something that was created by extreme external conditions that built so much pressure and strain on a person that snaps, breaks? Is that what we're talking about here? Well, I want to go to this text that we read today in John chapter 8. I want to allow one group of people to answer that question for us. Okay? And I think we'll see it in these verses. But let me start at the beginning and let's go through these verses here in John chapter 8. Look at verse number 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and then early in the morning, so he sounds like he went to the Mount of Olives for the evening. And Jesus did that often during his earthly ministry. He got away for a time of solitary prayer. And so he went to the Mount of Olives, and then next verse, early in the morning, he came again unto the temple. All the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So here came Jesus from the Mount of Olives to the temple early in the morning there in Jerusalem. And many people came together, and they sat down, and they wanted to hear Jesus talk, okay? Or Jesus teach. Look at verse number 3. And the scribes and Pharisees, right there, two groups of people who despised Jesus Christ. Scribes and Pharisees described him, despised him. Look at it here. Brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, sometimes we read the Bible too quick. We read it like a fairy tale. Can you imagine, what if somebody all of a sudden burst through those two oak doors back there in the center of the auditorium and just was dragging a woman, and she was hesitant, and they were obviously pushing her along or pulling her along, shoving her, and she's probably scared to death, and she's probably crying. This is what happened. Jesus is in the synagogue, he's in the temple teaching, and just in the very midst of his teaching, here comes these group of men, and they're hurrying this woman along, and I don't know, got her by the arm or by the hair, but I don't know how they're doing it. They're shoving her along, and she's probably scared to death. And they set her right in the middle of the room where Jesus was teaching. Now, all these people are gathered together. I would imagine that Jesus probably stopped teaching, stopped talking because of all the commotion. And they said, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Made that announcement to the whole congregation. Now, can you imagine the woman? Can you imagine her shame? Can you imagine the fear? Can you imagine the silence that must have prevailed in that synagogue when that took place? This is not something that somebody dreamed up. This happened. Okay? Draw door in there. Right in the middle of the whole crowd. And exposed her sin and said, this is what happened. And I imagine everybody was stunned. And I'm positive that every eye in that congregation of folks went back and forth from the woman to Jesus and then from Jesus to the woman, back and forth. What's he going to say? What's she going to say? What's going to come out of his mouth now that they've made this situation known? Look at verse number 5, carrying on in the text here. Now, Moses in the law commanded us, they're continuing to talk, that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. So, Jesus, this woman was taken in the very act of adultery, and Moses in the Old Testament law said that she should be stoned. Stop right there. Moses did say that. And there were people caught in adultery and other sins in the Old Testament who were stoned. You read about it in the Old Testament. Okay? So they're not lying. Okay? They're telling the truth. This is what Moses wrote in the law. He said that people that caught in something like this should be stoned. And what do you say? Jesus, what do you say? So, do you understand here? Now, a little bit of light comes on. All of this commotion wasn't really about the woman. All of what's taking place, they're dragging her into the synagogue, exposing her sin to the whole congregation. It really isn't about her. It is about Jesus. You see, it was another attempt from these two groups to discredit him. It was another attempt to catch Jesus in a contradiction. It was another attempt to be able to point their finger at him and say, you are an imposter. That's what this was. This was not about the woman. This was not from some sincere desire to help her or to purge sin from the people. It was all about this bitter, envious, jealous spirit that these men had. Now, wait a minute. Was she wrong? Of course she was wrong. Adultery is wrong. It was wrong then. It's still wrong today. But watch it now. They weren't concerned about that. They were consumed with destroying Jesus. That's what's going on here. They're not concerned about the woman. They are consumed with proving Jesus to be false, a blasphemer. Look at verse number 6 as you carry on. So they've made this declaration. And the end of verse number 6, after they've said what they wanted to say, the Bible says, "But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not." Let me just say here, you know, I don't think Jesus didn't speak for this reason. But sometimes, folks, you don't always have to answer when somebody demands an answer. And sometimes the smartest thing to do is not say anything. I don't think Jesus is caught here trying to figure out what to say. Sometimes you and I are. You don't have to always speak. So Jesus ignores them. And isn't that wonder? Isn't that the best thing to do to somebody who's full of spite? Just ignore them. He absolutely ignores them. And he stoops down and he writes on the ground. Now, you know, I'm not against this, but I've heard a lot of people say, "What did he write? What did he write? What did he..." Well, folks, I would guess that if what he wrote on the ground was important, or was what that God wanted us to know, what he wrote on the ground, he probably would have put it in the Bible. I don't know. So anything you might say or I might say is all what? Speculation. Well, he wrote the word love. Maybe he did. Maybe he wrote the word not heads. I don't know. I don't know what he wrote. Okay? I don't know. And I'm not going to make an attempt at telling you what he wrote, because I don't know what he wrote, because the Bible doesn't tell us what he wrote. It just says that Jesus stooped down. He ignored their question. And he stooped down and he started writing with his finger in the sand. Who knows what he was writing? Okay? Look at verse number 7 and 8. So when they continued asking him, so they don't let this thing go. They're badgering him and they're coming back again. Now, what do you say? Moses said this. Jesus, what do you say? What do you say, Jesus? So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." So they continue to ask him over and over again. Jesus finally stands up to speak. And friend, can I say, I believe this morning we can all agree, what came out of his mouth is not what they wanted, and is certainly not what they expected. He totally caught them off guard. "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And then he went right back to writing in the ground. You talk to him. Now do you understand even more why they came to the Pharisees one time and said, "Never man spake like this man. No book speaks like this book. And no man speaks like Jesus." And I'm telling you, man, he took all the vinegar out. I mean, just... Yeah. Stoner, no problem. Just make sure that the first one who throws a rock is not guilty of any sin. Look at verse number 9. "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the..." So one by one, slowly, the older ones in the group begin to leave. Now, why do you think the Bible put it in there? Why did God take care to make sure that the elder ones left first? I think it kind of goes along with the fact that there's a little bit more thought and patience sometimes and consideration the older you get. Young people are full of venom and zeal and... And those old Pharisees and those old scribes started thinking. They said, "Oh boy. Maybe they had a rock in their hand and they dropped it. I don't know." But the Bible says one by one, I love that. I love that. Can you imagine the drama in the synagogue? They don't all leave as a group. They all came in as a group, but they leave out one by one. So this thing is drawing out into this long series of events. And here goes this Pharisee, and here goes this scribe, and here goes this Pharisee. And the older ones are stepping out one by one. Finally, some of the middle-aged guys, and then some of the younger ones, are leaving one by one until there's no one standing there in the floor of the synagogue except for Jesus and the woman. Now, let me ask you a question. Were they all guilty of adultery? Had every one of them committed adultery? That's not what Jesus said. He said, he that is without sin. So the main issue in this, what Jesus said, was not adultery. The main issue was sin. And not any of those people standing around could or would dare make the claim that they were sinless. Now listen, here's a great lesson. Her weak link was not adultery. The hypothetical man that I described at the beginning of the message, his weak link was not anger or frustration or guilt. The woman who takes the children and drives them into the river, her weak link is not that she snapped. When Cain, who was the first child born, took something and killed his brother Abel, his weak link was not his anger and not his murder. Folks, listen. Adultery, anger, bitterness, guilt, frustration, murder, thievery, envy, those are all symptoms. All symptoms. The cause of those things, or the cause that leads to those things, is found in sin. Our weak link is sin. Our weak link is sin. And who in this room, who in this community, who in this state, who in this nation, who in this world can say, I don't have a weak link? Nobody can say that. We all have to do as the Pharisees and scribes did. We all have to leave and walk out one by one, because the honest truth of the matter is, every person ever born into this world has this weak link called sin. And this is what Jesus pointed out to these men. Well, watch this. Do you see? Men filled with hatred and with anger and with envy and with jealousy and with bitterness were wanting to stone a woman for adultery. And I'm not condoning the adultery. But here they were, filled with all of this sin. And it's just oozing out of them, this anger, frustration, this envy and jealousy. And they're wanting to destroy a woman for adultery. Now listen, Jesus carefully but convincingly showed them that the problem here is not adultery. The problem is sin. This is the problem. This is the weak link. And how many were standing around at the end? I think the Bible says none. How many could make the claim that they had no weak link? None. They all had a weak link called sin. And so do we. Now, folks, look, there is no doubt that all of us deal with different and varied problems and emotions and temptations, all of us. But that is because we all have a common weak link, and that weak link is sin. And that's why they all walked away. That's why they all left. They all had the weak link called sin. They were all guilty of sin. The weak link of sin cripples all of us. This is common to all people. Listen to these verses, folks, in Isaiah 53:6. Listen to this. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:9. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, there is none other, that they are all under sin. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin. I read those verses, and this is just many verses. This is some of many verses that teach all of us have a weak link. All of us have the weak link of sin. You say, you know, Pastor Angel, I'm really disappointed. I really get tired of hearing that sin is my problem. I really thought when I came for a weak link, they'd be talking about how to control my anger and how to control. And they go, you know what? I'm going to get on to some of that. But you know what? Anger is not common to everybody. And envy's not common to everybody as far as having a problem with it. But there is something that's common to all of us. It's what causes all these other problems. Folks, we have a society that is inundated with trying to treat the symptoms. You don't get anything cured if you just deal with the surface. If you just deal with the... I put it in your bulletin this week. If you haven't had a chance to read it, I hope that you will. I don't apologize for that whatsoever. I put it right in there in the pastor's paragraph. There are another gun law helps. Look, you know what they want us to believe about Adam Lanza and the guy out in Colorado and everybody else? That more laws would have prevented their problem, that would have prevented this. Well, here's 10 laws that one guy broke. You're going to tell me that 11 are going to stop him? And what they want to do is they want to go treat this and treat that and treat this and treat that. Nobody ever brings up that the heart of man is sinful. And if we're ever going to address the anger and the envy and the frustration and the jealousy and the adultery and the murder and the hatred, we can't just deal with surface issues. We have to take the axe to the root of the tree. I'm not talking about just society's ills. I'm talking about society's ills or individual ills, because society is made up of people. We're all dabbling around with surface treatment. Look, if you're sick and you've got these three or four different symptoms going on and you go to the doctor and they do away with the symptom but they don't get down to the cause, you're not happy. You're not happy. I visited yesterday. Mrs. Rigney's son, oldest son, Jim, is in the hospital and had cancer surgery, had a third of his lung removed, and then his lung collapsed. And I was down to see him at the hospital, and he was in a kind of a medically induced sleep, and so he wouldn't wake up. And then I was sitting out in the foyer, just standing in the foyer. And here came his wife, and so we sat down. And I said, "Tell me about that. I was here Tuesday night. What's going on?" She said, "You know, I called the doctor last night." I said, "She said to me, I told the doctor, look, I want to know what's going on. Don't give me all this surface stuff. Tell me what the problem is." Isn't that how all of us are? You know, we can take care of this and we can take care of this, but I want the problem exposed. I want the problem dealt with. Now, look, folks, people are in real tough situations, real tough situations. I'm not minimizing that. Sometimes tough situations are exaggerated by other people's sin. That's the truth. And I'm not minimizing pressure. I'm not minimizing stress. I'm not minimizing strain. I'm not minimizing the fact that here's an anger problem and it needs to be helped. And here's a drinking problem. And here's this kind of envy. And by the way, we're always quick to talk about, you know, the drunk that snaps or the dope addict that snaps. How about the jealous person that snaps? Wonder how many murders are fueled by jealousy. And, you know, we want to treat this and treat this and let's do this and management that and support group this. And I'm not making fun of all that. I'm simply saying you got to quit dabbling around on the surface and get to the root of the problem. And all this stuff, all those sins. I mean, and Jesus went right to the quick. Right to the quick. You want to stone her? Sure. Stone her. Just let the first one throw the rock who's sinless. Because adultery is the surface issue. I'm not minimizing adultery. I'll get to that in a second, folks. I'm not minimizing sin. But I'm saying that's the surface issue. The problem is the heart of man. The problem is that we have a weak link. It's called sin. And over again, the Bible makes that very clear. But this, we have to understand, this is our society. Deal with the symptom. We have to understand and accept. Hear me. It is not the pressure. It is not the stress. It is not the strain that makes us snap and go over the edge. Those things don't help. But the ultimate root cause is our sin. That's where it is. Now, I know this is not psychologically feel-good stuff. But every person I've ever seen that really deals with this gets a whole lot better. Gets a whole lot better without those multiple trips to somebody trying to figure out your brain. The problem is not the brain. The problem is the heart. It's the core of man. It's weak. It's got a weak link. It's tainted by sin. I'm sure there's some even here this morning thinking right now, well, that's just the most ridiculous thing. I don't know why this is helpful. Your society has tainted your thinking. Go back to the Bible. The cause of my blowing up and going over the edge is ultimately because we all have a weak link that is sin. And we have a society that encourages us to treat the symptoms and ignore the cause. Now, wait a minute. Sometimes, I'm not against helping to treat the symptom if your objective is to get to the cause. But that's not how our society operates. And friend, if we could put a dollar value on what's spent in this country running around dabbling with the surface issues, it'd be staggering. Staggering. Absolutely staggering. We have a society that encourages us to only deal with the symptoms and ignore the cause. And the only way to really deal with the problem is to treat the cause. Treat it. And we can't take from this story that Jesus excused her adultery because of a weak link. No, we can't take that. No, look at verse number 9. Look at it again. They're left standing alone in the midst. And look at Jesus. Look at verse number 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" Then he says in verse number 11, she says, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He said, "Lady, you go and don't do this again." Now, why didn't Jesus condemn her? Because she was already under condemnation. Her own sin condemned her. She was guilty. She was wrong. Jesus did not come to condemn her or anyone else. He came to make it possible for people to go and sin no more. It's so obvious. It's like, to us, it's so obvious. At one time, it wasn't obvious to me. And to the lost world, we just smack our heads and we say, what can we do to help people see? You know, if all we do, folks, is blame our problem or our emotional outbursts and our temper and our anger and our jealousy and our rage and all these external circumstances, then it's never our fault. And if I'm not willing to look within, I'll never address the issue. If it's one set of circumstances this time, it'll be another set of circumstances next time. And I'll just continue to cast the blame and cast the blame and cast the blame and cast the blame. And it's endless. Her own sin condemned her. That's how treating the weak link of sin begins. It begins with recognizing that Jesus is the one who can treat the cause. He can cure the cause of all of those things. He can deal with our sin issue. No baptismal water can do that. No church membership role can do that. No support group can do that. No psychiatrist can do that. Look, only one who can deal with the cause of our problem is the Lord Jesus Christ. Does this make sense to you all today? I tell you what they should do. Take these murderers and do what the Bible said for one thing. If a man sheds blood, by man shall his blood be shed. We deal with the sin. It's a sin issue. And that's what the weak link of all mankind is. It's the sin issue. And the one who can treat that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get that treated, we can begin to see the symptoms cleaned up. And that has happened to so many people, some I'm speaking to even in this room, people who used to be controlled by alcohol to the place of being a drunk, are now sober. Because they allowed Jesus Christ to deal with the root problem. People in this room that used to be dope users. A dope user so strong that dope control, things were sold to buy more dope. Things were stolen and then sold to buy more dope and get more dope and get. And it was like the story Brother Caleb talked about. And I know the man he's talking about. And the little girl came to Sunday school and got a gospel tract and got saved and took the gospel tract home and put it in her daddy's marijuana box. And he goes to get another joint to get high again because the pressure of this world is just too much. He opens that marijuana box and finds that gospel tract. Brother Caleb said, man, no soul winner put it there. I said, are we sure? Are we sure? And he sits down with that gospel tract, instead of rolling a joint and getting high, he sits down with that gospel tract, gets on his knees, and gets saved. And has not touched it since. That's the cure. What did that gospel tract cost? Seriously. 2 cents. 2 cents. You can't make an appointment with a psychiatrist for 2 cents. And by the way, it doesn't have to be dope, and it doesn't have to be drunkenness, it doesn't have to be adultery. It could be rage, it could be anger. It could be bitterness, it could be jealousy. People eating up with those things. Try to run to this and run to that and cure it. Those are as much sin issues as adultery is. I love that verse. I read it earlier. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. All means everybody. We've turned everyone to his own way. Period. Period. Does the verse stop there? Comma. Thank God for that comma. But man is sinful, and man has gone his way. And because he's sinful, because he's gone his way, he commits adultery, and he smokes dope, and he gets drunk, and he cheats, and he's ugly, and his temper flares up. And he's full of rage, and she's full of jealousy and envy. But the Lord, God, hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And because I fit into the first all, I fit into the last all. And everybody's weak link can be addressed through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Boy, if we could just... But this is not popular. This is not popular. It's not even popular in churches. Much less the community. This is not popular in church. Yeah. But you should be suave and come at it from the backside, you know, and surprise them. And I don't know how to do that. Yet, and I'm 56, it's probably too old to learn that. Maybe this is part of that. Sneak in. We'll talk about your weak link. Well, the truth of the matter is, I got the same weak link he's got, and he's got the same one he's got, and he's got the same one all you got, and we all got the same weak link, and all of us are what we are because of our sin. And if we'd ever just get that in our heads and start letting Jesus, first of all, let Jesus deal with it by getting saved. And then you know what? Letting Him deal with specific things like anger. The best anger management is the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that. The best adultery management is the Holy Spirit. But He's got to be in you before He can go to work on you. That makes sense, folks? There's not this thing of advantage and disadvantage when it comes to sin. The weak link, we've all got it. And we need to quit treating the symptom and get the cause treated. Amen? That's the truth. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heavenly Father, You're a gracious God. You loved us enough to send Jesus to die on the cross for us. You laid on Jesus all of our sin. That's amazing. And we are grateful. I pray that You'd help us today. Speak to our hearts, please. In Jesus' name, amen.